We're thankful for these songs this morning, and certainly we all know that if the Lord is in it, He can take a little and make a lot out of it for us today. And this morning we do need your prayers for the time that would be before you. As we said earlier, there's a lot of folks are away from us, a lot of folks that are traveling, and a lot of folks that are visiting the cemeteries and placing flowers upon the markers of their loved ones and this Memorial Day weekend. And I often go back, and this week I've been pondering about Memorial Day and why we reflect so greatly upon it and why we look at it. And we have to go all the way back to 1865 when a druggist by the name of Henry Wells started what we celebrate today. How many of y'all remember when it was called Decoration Day instead of Memorial Day? And it was called that because Henry spread it throughout our nation that they would go and decorate the markers, the graves of the soldiers that had fallen in the fight for this country. And I have to ask this morning, how many veterans do we have with us this morning? If you just stand and let the church acknowledge you with us today. All the veterans. No, Brother Ivan's one. Brother Cecil. Also Glenn. Steve. And then also Pam this morning. I think a round of hand clap of praise for them. For their honor and their duty. And yet, memorial, just putting flowers on a marker seems so insignificant. I heard a story yesterday about a troop, and I don't know what troop it was. They told the number and the name of this troop, that over 200 of these men out of this one troop that fell during Vietnam. And many folks I thought about yesterday, as no doubt this weekend, hundreds of thousands of people will go by the Vietnam Memorial in Washington, D.C., and one of my buddies was telling me that some of them even take paper and pencil, and they'll go up to the name of their loved one, Larry, and put the paper on there and trace it with the pencil. And how great that is to think about the price they paid. Brother Jim made the comment, as we look around us today, the freedom that we have came with a great price. A great price. And we owe it. Terry's another one of our veterans that's not with us this morning, but we owe it to all these veterans that has made this possible for us to live in such a great country. In 1971, it became a national holiday, and we celebrate it today. And I'm afraid that most of our folks celebrate it in the wrong way. They don't think about those that paid the price, that we could have the freedoms that we have today. And I think that we have forever. I still get teary-eyed when I hear the national anthem played. I still, when they raise a flag, oh glory, it still touches my heart. Because I thank God for this country in which we live in. And I thank God for the memories that we have and the memorials that are set before us. But one of the things that I thought about this week is that if I was to go to Washington, D.C. and go to the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, or go and see the memorial for Iwo Jima or any of the other memorials that there is across the land, Sister Villa, all I would be doing is going and visiting that memorial. I don't know any of those people, Billy. None of them that I know of have I ever known or even know that they go back into. I have family members that served in Vietnam, but I don't know anybody that's name is upon that placard there and that great wall. But every one of us, every day, we ought to thank God for those who gave their all so that we could be here this morning and have the rights that we have. And for not just those that perished, but also for those that fought, and for those that are still fighting, we ought to lift them up and honor them with our prayers and our support and with all that we can do for them today. And some folks might wonder, how does this go into our message this morning? And the thought that I've had on my heart is that every day We are not soldiers. We may have not given our lives for our country. We may have not even fought for our countries. But every day, every one of us is creating our memorial. Every one of us. And that would be my text this morning, is that we're creating our memorial. Everything we do is what will be left behind once we're gone. Some of these folks are just like those that's in the Bible. The Bible does not just give us one side of the story of every one of these lives. This whole book is a memorial to everyone who ever gave their life for the Lord Jesus Christ. For everyone who ever fought the battles so that you and I could enjoy what we enjoy today. For everyone that prayed, for everyone that sang, for everyone that preached, for every deacon, for every lay member, this whole book is nothing but full of people that left behind memorials for you and I. Does that mean that they was perfect? And the answer is no. If we go and we begin to read about some of these folks' memorials, we'll find that there's probably a whole lot more that could have been written. Could you imagine if everything was written about David that was wrong? But you know, and let me put this in first. Every one of us has made mistakes. Every one of us. But you know what? At the end of his life, the Bible teaches us that God said this about him, that he had a heart. God said this about David, that he had a heart. He was a man after God's own heart. So even though we make mistakes, and we all have made them and still continue to make them, while we're creating our memorial, you know what was said about him at the end of his days? And he rested with his fathers in the Lord. How many of us today, that when it comes to the end of our lives, the greatest memorial that can ever be said about anybody is how you left here? And if you knew Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, it says, blessed is the memory of a just man, or the memory of a just man is blessed. That every one of us, when I think about our loved ones, and I've got scripture I'm going to read in just a minute, but when I think about our loved ones, folks, it's not the flyers that we put on the tombstones that makes the difference. What makes the difference is the memorials that they left behind for us. How many of you got folks that's already outstripped us and gone on and left you behind the greatest memorial of all, and that is, I'll see you again on heaven's bright shore. Amen? That's the greatest memorial that anybody can leave behind. And I said I'll read scripture. Maybe I will in a few minutes. But it's not what we did. Many of us, most of us, will never do anything in this life that will, once we're gone, a great monument will be built or erected to our memorial. Most of us won't do anything that reaches that kind of heights. But you know what? When you got saved and when I got saved, it rang out through the hallways of heaven that another child has been, and not just another child, but I believe it just like this, my name was called out. Your name was called out. And it's forever written in the Lamb's Book of Life, meaning that even the devil himself can't take it out of there. Some folks might say that I'd like to leave a better memorial. I'd like to be a better person. But it's just hard in these times in which we live in. In the book of Ecclesiastes in the 9th chapter, if you want to turn there this morning, we won't ask you to stand today. We want to read these scriptures and share with you and I that we need to be more concerned about our memorial. We need to be concerned about what we're leaving behind for our people and for our loved ones. And for the church today. And it says here in this 9th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, he said, For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before him. That scripture means this, that none of us knows what's going to happen tomorrow. None of us knows what's going to happen this afternoon. We did not know yesterday what was going to happen today. We do not have that foresight. But he said in the second verse that all things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked. to the good and to the clean, to the unclean, to him that sacrifices and him that sacrificeth not. As is the good, so is the sinner. And he that sweareth, as he that feareth an oath. Verse 3 says that there is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. For him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. Can I repeat that this morning for you that think that there is no hope? He said, to all that are joined to the living, there is hope. Our people that are still lost, and I want to encourage the church folks with this morning, to your people of mine that are still lost, we still have hope that their memorial is going to change, that their lives are going to change, that they're going to live a different lifestyle than what they have lived. And even to those that are good folks, folks, it is not good enough just to be good. You must be born again, is what the Scripture says. He says that for a living dog is better than a dead lion. And the Jews hated dogs. He says, for the living know that they shall die. How many of us today know that there is a day coming that we're going to have to leave this world? Every one of us ought to be able to say that we know that. It's a fact. From the time that we are born, we proceed toward death. He says that we all know that we shall die. And if we know that we shall die, then we should be concerned about what kind of memorial we're leaving behind. And he says that, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward for their memory, for the memory of them is forgotten. And I didn't come to depress you this morning, I just come to preach you the Word of God. But how many of us realize that once we leave this world, Sister Ruby, we are only about a generation and a half from being forgotten. Once the kids and the grandkids. I was thinking as we was coming to church this morning, I have memory of my grandparents. And I remember when I was little, I remember seeing my great-grandparents. But I don't recall a whole lot about them because I was too little. And then I remember traveling to go to their funeral services. But I don't remember a whole lot about them. Every one of us, our loved ones, just like us. There are folks that even, and let me make my statement first. Every one of us in a generation and a half to two generations will be forgotten about. So what it teaches us is that what we ought to be more concerned about is those things that are heavenly instead of those things that are earthly. And to paint that picture even better this morning, that they had a survey recently, and most of our kids that are in elementary and junior high school don't even believe that the Holocaust even existed. They think it's just a hoax. You see how people get misled? You see how things get led astray? And folks, I'll say this and I'll move on. But most people, when you go and you hear about their memorials, have you ever been to a funeral where you heard somebody talk about the memorials they left behind and you had to look around to see if you was at the right funeral? Because it's not every, you know, once they're gone, it's too late to make them better than what they was. In fact, once you and I are gone, we ought to be more concerned about the memorials that we're leaving behind. And how many of us wish that we could go back and change some of the things that we've already done? But you know what? As the Bible says, he's about these men and women in the Word of God. Not all, they were not all perfect. They all made their share of mistakes. Every one of them. But you know, because they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, because they believed in God, even though they made mistakes, when it come time to leave, they left behind a memorial that I believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jacob, how many of you remember Jacob was a deceiver? He was a sub-planner, was he not? And the Bible even tells us that Moses was a murderer. He did. And the Bible even tells us some of them, about some of them that were harlots. And some of them that that even had men killed so that they could take their wives. But you know, we may not have made those kinds of mistakes, but we're all guilty of making our own mistakes. As Ecclesiastes, the preacher, said. But you know, at the end of their lives, the thing that stood out is that regardless of the mistakes they made, they still had their trust in Jesus Christ. And they left here with a better testimony than what their lives ever painted. And that is that they died believing in God. They died believing in Jesus Christ to come, or that He was already here, and they believed upon Him. And this morning, you know, when we look at their lives, there's no great monuments that's been erected to them. But they left behind a great memorial. This morning, Becky and I went over to the cemetery before we come to church, where her dad's buried at. And you know, in those cemeteries, there are monuments that are missing. There are some that are just enormous. Some of them that we saw there, that was like the George Washington Memorial, and that it was high, and it was like a pinnacle or a needle that was very large that just went toward the heavens. But you know, once that you're gone, you have no idea what kind of monument is on top of you. And when the Lord comes in the clouds of glory, He's not going to look for your monument to see where you're lying at. There's many of our men and women that's buried on foreign soil. And this blesses my heart every time I think about it, because of the price that they paid and the memorials that they gave to us. Many of them, when they died, they was just taken off all over to the edge of the ship and dropped into the ocean. And many of their loved ones can't go this morning, church, to a place and decorate for their loved ones that fail, that you and I could have this right to be here this morning. But you know what? Their loved ones may not know where they're at. But God knows where every soul was planted. And when He comes in the clouds of glory, He's not going to need a funeral director or a cemetery director to point them to where they're at, because He knows where His children are at. And He's going to call, and the Bible says that the trump of God shall sound, and declaring that time shall be no more. And all of our memorials. The Bible said in this verse that the living know not, but the dead know not anything, neither do they have any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. A lot of folks will forget where we're even at. But God will never forget. How many of you are like us? Every time it seems like we go to the cemetery, we have to go over and over in our mind where it is that our loved ones are at. Becky and I this morning said, do we go right or do we go left? Do we go down this way? Which way do we go? And some folks might say, well, if you went there more often, you know where they're at. Let me tell you, my loved ones is not lying underneath the sod. Amen? In fact, this is what I want to preach to all of us this morning in our memorials. Those that die in Jesus Christ, the Bible says that when we die, our soul is headed to one of two places. You're not lying underneath the sod. Where you're at, you're either in heaven or you're in hell for all eternity. I'm glad this morning, aren't you, about your own self, that I can leave behind a memorial. I may not leave behind any great things I ever done in this life. When I leave here, it'll probably be the only thing that they could. And I thought about this. Let me put this in. This morning, as we took those flowers to Becky's grave and put them on there, you know what I was thinking about? So how many of y'all was able to attend his funeral? Anybody in the church that was able to be there at his funeral? You know what I thought about? He probably, if he could speak to us, he'd probably say, how much did you pay for him? Because he always wanted to know how much everything cost. That's just the memories that I have of him. And with the way that he was. But every one of us today, when our people, when we go there, and I'm just going to preach my heart for a few more minutes of time. Most of the time when we take flowers to a cemetery, and don't get me wrong, I think it's honorable for us to do this. But are we doing it just because everybody else is doing it? Because we don't want our loved one to be there without any flyers for everybody else around them. Can we make a point this morning to each other? Don't wait until our loved ones die to give them their flyers. And I'm not talking about calling some florist and getting flyers delivered. I'm talking about we ought to tell them that we love them. We ought to tell each other that we appreciate our brothers and sisters. We ought to tell everybody, I was singing this song as I was coming to church in my heart, is that you have been an inspiration to us. My memorial and your memorial is what we have here in the house of God. If you take God out of our lives ain't much. But when you put everything in perspective, in Christ Jesus, I am somebody. I am somebody. Can you imagine what your memorial is going to be like? Listen at this. And their love and their hatred. Has anybody ever hated somebody? We are in the house of God. Have you ever loved anybody? And your envy. Has anybody ever envied? When we leave this world, all of our love, our hatred, and our envy, those things that we just hold on to, is gone. Neither have they a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Once we're gone, we don't know what's happening the next day. We have no idea of what's happening that evening. You say, this is a depressing message this morning. But we are in charge of the memorial that we leave behind. It's not how good of a worker you was. It's not how much knowledge that you had. It's not where you lived at. It's not your car. You know, if that's the only memories that we can leave behind, we have failed miserably. Failed miserably. A guy this past week, down there, I never knew him, but some of the guys was telling me about him. He passed away and he was a multi-millionaire. The only memorial he left behind is that he was a millionaire. He was a multi-millionaire, Larry. And you know what the memorial is for his kids? Is the fight has already started over what he left behind. I may not leave much behind, Sister Ruby, to my kids. But one thing I can leave behind is the greatest memorial of all. If they put me underneath the sod and don't even put a marker above it. If they just take me out and just bury me in the woods somewhere. If when our lives come to an end, if we are paupers and they have to bury us in pauper's field somewhere. No matter what happens at the end, if we can leave behind a testimony, a memorial to our people, is that I know Jesus Christ, I'm saved beyond a shadow of a doubt. How many of you know that this morning? If you can leave behind that you are saved beyond a shadow of a doubt, you know what? That is more of a memorial than the greatest temple that could be erected and put your name on it. Than the greatest of highways with your name attached to it. Than the greatest of anything that could be named after you or after me. Is that to know that our name is found in the Lamb's Book of Life is the greatest memorial that any of us could ever have. And people say, I'd like to have that and leave that for my people, but I've just done too much. Let me go back to the first part of the message. The Bible gives us in this book of memorials men and women that were great in the eyes of God. Every name that's in here, it's not just haphazardly that they're here, Larry. They're here for a reason. You know what God wants us to do is look at their lives, see their mistakes, and prevent us from making the same mistakes. But they're also here because they love the Lord. And they did that which was right in His sight. Does anybody remember that little girl, Rahab the harlot? Her name is here, not because she was a harlot, but because when the spies come down there, she took them in And she allowed them, she hid them, and she said, I'll do this if you'll do one thing for me. See, she'd heard about this army of God. She says, when you come to destroy the city, will you save me and my family? You talk about a memorial. How many of us as parents and as grandparents, there is nothing, Brother Eli, we want more than for our children to have the best lives that they could possibly ever dream of. And their best lives is not what's out there. Their best lives is what's in here. And the memorial that they leave behind to their children. See, I didn't know much about my great-grandparents. But I know this based upon the words that Mom and Dad would tell us. Is that they believed in God. Villa, they got their lives right with God. They left here with the promise. A memorial that I'll see you again on the other side of the river. Today, if you can't leave that behind to your family, if you can't leave that behind to your friends, most of all, if you have no family or friends to leave it behind, in your own heart, I know, as the writer said in Ecclesiastes as I close this morning, bad things happen to good and bad people alike. Hard times come to bad people and good people alike. Mistakes are made by bad people and good people alike. But we're all proceeding toward death. And it's too late, once you're dead, to change your memorial. And I'll close with a question. How many of you have made mistakes that you'd like to go back and fix? But you know what, Brother Eli? We can't change yesterday. We can't change this morning. But what we can change is from this point forward. We got men and women. I've known the men and women. In fact, for every one of y'all that was down with us at Winna's place the other Wednesday night, there was a woman there that was talking to us, Sister Peace. Her husband, when she got married, was... In fact, he used to stand and tell this. He was a professional alcoholic. He would work all week, get his paycheck, and go out and spend it on liquor. That was his memorial. Until she held on to God's promises. She kept praying. And you know what happened? God changed his memorial. You know, I didn't know him as an alcoholic, Mark. And I know that you didn't know him as an alcoholic. Because he was pastor at New Haven for several years. But you know what the memorial that I have of him? Was a hellfire preaching man of God. But not just hellfire. He preached about heaven also. And folks... His memorial was this, is that he was a man of God. I thought yesterday, and I said I'm going to close. I thought yesterday, we have known some great memorials about people. I thought about Sterling Bowling. What a great memorial. Great memorial. And I think about how our lives, has anybody's lives been changed because of men of God like Ice and Peace? And because of Sterling Bowling. You know, I didn't get saved under either one of those. But you know what, Billy? They changed my life because they preached the Word of God. Our memorials can be shaped and reshaped as we go along our Christian life. When I leave here, I don't want to be remembered about a position that I held or a job that I did. Or the work that we did. You know what I like to be remembered? Is that the world may have never known my name. But he had a friend in Jesus Christ. He knew him. Not only can I say that I know him. But I can tell you this morning with all assurance. He also knows me. He knows me. Becky, if you would come and get us a song, maybe get Villa to sing for us today. and a song of invitation. And you know, would it be all right just to just get that song out, Villa, and lead us in it in precious memories? And some folks might say, why would you pick that out? Because some of the greatest memorials there are is forever etched in my memory. Your mother. And I thought about Barb's mother. Ron's mother and Ron's father. Brother Harvey. Your mother. You know, and I'm going to miss somebody. And I'm not doing it on purpose. But I think about all these people. My mother. My grandfather. My grandmother. All these people. That is your grandmother, Debbie. All these people that's outstripped us have gone on. Yes, there's sadness in my heart that they're gone from us. But you know what? There's joy also in my heart because of their memorial. I may never go out to the cemetery to visit where they're laid at. But I shall see them again in just a few more days. Brother Gene. And I think about him. So many. Sister Ruth. I think about them. So many people that their memorial was forever changed by God in a little church like this. And today, to you that are lost without God, your life can be changed. Your memorial can be changed. And that when you leave here, people say, yeah, you know, one of the things they no doubt they'll say about me, and we know about ourselves, do we not? He was stubborn. He was difficult at times. A little hard-headed. Amen. Right? Made a lot of mistakes. Made some decisions in life that were questionable. Sister Mary, the greatest thing that I can leave behind is that, yes, I'm guilty of all of that. But let me tell you what I'm also proud of. It's not the honors. It's not the education. It's not the job. It's not the house. It's not anything else that we have in this life. What I am the most proud of when I leave here is that I am a born-again child of the living God. And I ask you this morning, if you can't leave that behind as a memorial to your people, I ask you to come and get things right with God. While we stand, they sing this song. Listen, you know this song this morning, church. Precious memories. We all have them because of the memorials that they left behind for us. How they ever flood my soul. Yes. How about you this morning? Yes, ever near me. Yes, how about you, Mom and Dad? Young man and woman? Why don't you come? Let your family know that you want a memorial, that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. How they linger. How they ever flood my soul. We miss them, but we know we shall see them again. Because their memorial and ours matches up. The stillness of the midnight. Precious memories. Yes. One more verse if they would. Go on. Precious Father. Loving Mother. We shall meet again. Yes. We have those memorials today, church, do we not? Sister Arbutus, your husband, I didn't mention him. There's just so many. Wally that's gone to be at the Lord. Debbie, I could just go on and on. Yes, we all have them today. How they ever flood our souls. How many of you hold on to those precious memories today? I thank God for everyone that I have in my heart. And I mentioned many of your loved ones. I didn't mention your son-in-law, Frank. You know, there's just so many that's outstripped us and gone on. Billy, it's hard to remember them all. But the thing I remember about all of these, some of them that for years served the Lord and left behind a great memorial. Some of them that in their latter days that we'd visit there in the hospital and they'd tell us. I remember Frank asked me, he said, "Do you think that I could get saved in the hospital?" I said, "You can get saved anywhere that you bow your head and ask Jesus Christ to come in and save you." And you know what the Lord did for him? He saved him. He saved him. God can save anywhere. And He can save you and, you know, make your memorial something that your family can be proud of today. God bless you. I hope you got something from the message this morning. Something that will touch your life and help us all desire to change our memorial. Because once we're gone, it's too late. Too late to change it. God bless you. Remember, no church tonight. Have a safe weekend. This is one of the most traveled weekends in the year. And lots of accidents. So be very careful in your travels. May God bless you and yours. If I don't see you before then, I'll see you on Wednesday night back here at the church. God bless you today.